Before we, I'd ask if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28, if you would. Is that because I'm in front of the speaker here? How's that?
Perfect. Let me do the announcement.
No, we're not doing the announcements. They were already up there. You've been fired and you weren't told.
No, Katie actually.
I'm sorry. Does he have announcements?
I'm just
going to
explain. New ones.
I'm just going to explain, okay? So before I was thrown off stage.
I was just upstaged.
Can you pray for Ray? He's still in the hospital. I don't have any details, but.
Yeah. Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
Is he here?
No, he's not.
Before and after church, so you can take a look at when things are occurring. Okay, and then when a new month comes up or a new event's going to happen, we'll do an announcement with it and get it on the announcement board. Okay, and Jamie has one thing she wants to add.
So it's this. It was that. Next week, the 7th, if you want to serve in Sunday school, we're just going to have a quick meeting after church. If you can't come, please let me know and I can get you the info. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn, if you would, to Matthew 28. Resurrection Day, better known as Easter. And it's a term that I don't want to be one of those pastors who throws cold water on the holidays, because I love the holidays. I love Christmas, and I love Easter, and I love 4th of July, and I love St. Paddy's Day, and you know, but let's call them what they are. And this is Resurrection Day. And it's, I really got hit pretty hard at home this morning just looking at one verse. And I'm possibly going to seem disjointed at times, but God has been putting so much stuff into my mind in the last hour. It's hard. I almost want to say, stop, please. I can only hear and handle so much. And what I just sat down when Pat was getting done this morning, and I opened it up, and Matthew 28 was what I turned to. So if you're there, it's the story of the tomb. We had a lovely resurrection morning service down at the res. The sun was out. This was probably in the 40 some odd years that we've been doing sunrise service at the res. It was the most beautiful service ever. The sun came up. There wasn't a whiff of any breeze. It was warm. The word that was laid on Seth's heart was wonderful this morning. We had a wonderful meal here. I was just I kept saying, I wish everybody could feel like this. And I wish what I saw at the tables at breakfast here this morning, I wish this was our normal being. But unfortunately, it's not, you know? Little things come into our lives and destroy a lot of good things. Count your many blessings, Grandma used to tell me. Count them one by one. Because just one bad thing can come in and ruin 10, 15 good things that are going on in my life, and I focus on that. So after I read this, I had this emotional feeling that I, as a pastor, have not felt in a lot of years. When I first got saved, when I used to stand in line at McDonald's or Target and turn around and ask people if they knew Jesus Christ, loved them. And my kids would tell me, Dad, you don't even know him, you know. I will one day, maybe, you know. The world has gotten into my heart. The world has gotten into my life. And I allow those opportunities to pass me by. And I wonder, is it because I don't care, or I don't want to rattle anyone's cage, or everyone has the right to believe the way they want to? That right is given to every man and woman that walks the face of this earth. But Jesus Christ asked me, when he called me, first in my own salvation, out of death to life, resurrection. And if you're here today as a Christian, if you've received that beautiful offer of salvation from God, through his son, Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, not anything you and I can do, you've already been resurrected once. You were dead, You might not want to believe that, but the Word of God says you and I were dead in trespass and sins, and now we could be made alive. That brought great joy to my life. But I want to read this, so usually I preach for about 2 hours if you're visiting today. So this is only the introduction. So the time hasn't started yet. This is a story when they went to the tomb. We heard it this morning, but in verse 8 is what grabbed me. And remember, they saw the angel sitting on the tomb. Come and see. Take a look. He's not here. He's risen. Go tell everybody. Well, in verse 8, it says, and they departed quickly. And that word's going to be important for us because I don't know how much time I have left on this earth. I don't know how much time you have left on this earth. And that word quickly means get it going. 44, 45 years, I guess we've been saved. Mom, maybe a little more. I don't know. The time is very short right now. Whether it's my own personal life and the breath and the years that God gives each one of us, or it could be the rapture of his bride, that Christ is waiting to come back, receive us unto himself so that we might spend eternity with him. Quickly. I've wasted 45 years. No matter what I did, cross it off. That's old. That's like the greatest meal you ever ate 20 years ago. Is it doing you any good today? No. Quickly. Quickly, Doug. So they departed quickly from the sepulcher, and look at, underline this if you feel comfortable with that or lock onto it. They departed quickly with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples' word. Fear and joy. All of a sudden, Adam, because I was so happy. I was jazzed. I ate eggs and home fries this morning and pancakes and bacon. I had a meal that I normally don't eat breakfast like that. Oh, I was so happy. So happy that Seth preached a wonderful word and I saw the Holy Spirit just touching his life. People singing and dogs at sunrise service saying hello to each other. I mean, it was just such joy, such joy. But when I read that, all of a sudden that fear invoked thoughts in me that I haven't had. And you know, that fear, you don't need to be afraid of God. God loves you. But the fear that we should have for God is an awesome, reverent respect for who he is, what he says, what he promised, what he did already, and what he is yet to do. So that fear and joy started getting to me, and I thought, why? Why am I having this fear, Lord? You know? And the fear all of a sudden was explained that I've got friends, and I've got family members that I say I love, and they mean everything to us. They're our world, my children, my great-grandchildren. But I know that some of them are not going to go to heaven. There's a commercial on TV right now by the Billy Graham Association. Maybe you've seen it. Beautiful ocean picture. It says, when you die, and he pauses, are you going to heaven or not? That was the fear that hit me. That maybe, have I made sure that I've spoken? You see, you can't convince anybody to become a Christian. That's your personal decision. God has already did that right there. He so loved you that he gave Jesus Christ, that if you would believe on him, you wouldn't ever die. You would have everlasting life. That's up to you. Have I explained that to my children, to my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren? Have I explained that to the people I call friends, that I have given them that opportunity to realize that this Easter is much deeper than Easter, a bunny and eggs? I mean, bunnies don't lay eggs, right? No, but I mean, slowly, methodically, just as Satan has from the beginning of time, he is trying to take away the reality of Jesus Christ in your life, in the world's life, not just here in Nederland, not just at Calvary Chapel because, oh, those are those non-denominational, leave your brain at the door people. No, open your mind today to Jesus Christ. Let's hear what he really says. This is a time for me, you know, when is it? New Year's, right? We all make resolutions. And I thought, this Sunday, it shouldn't be, and Easter's fine. We must have spent, I don't know how much, we got Easter baskets with chocolate and bunny ears and everything else. And, you know, here I am preaching this. But there has to be something that we can utilize in this physical that we can attach a spiritual meaning for our children, for our friends, for our family, that they might see the love of Jesus Christ. So this should be R&R. See, all of us love R&R, don't we? Well, the new R&R for me is going to be resurrection and resolution. I'm going to think of the cross, and I'm going to think of that empty tomb every day, if I possibly can. Be careful on the promises that we make. But when my feet hit the ground, I want to start thinking, I'm already resurrected, and that day's coming. I'm going to spend eternity with the love of our life that we lost. I'm going to be there because of what he did there. Some of my friends are going to be there. Maybe even some of my old pals that I used to think I want to go to hell. That's where all my friends are going. Maybe even they'll come too. So today, as we approach God's word, I hope that there is a great joy for this day, a great joy. But I also pray that there is an awesome, reverent fear for God, who will judge all of mankind at one time. So being the culmination of everything that we believe, I mean, we believe in his birth. That's great for Christmas. His life here on earth. Do you know everything that, I don't know it. And I'm not saying that accusingly. His life, have we read what he, I mean, it says that if all the things that Jesus did, the books of the world couldn't contain what he did. So can you imagine things that he did? I imagine things that I can do. I'm going to catch the biggest trout today that anybody's ever seen. You know, I'm going to do this. We imagine, and that's going to have a point in a minute, but his birth, his life, his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. Do I think about that for my life? And it should be a daily thought, as I said, of reckoning on where I stand with Christ and a hope in my life that no matter what is befalling any one of us, no matter how dark your day might be today and how dark it's been for the last who knows how long, there's going to come a time when he is going to just shine a light that's unimaginable into that darkness, and we'll be forever with him. So with his words, I just want to preface it, and I did this once years ago, is a song by John Lennon. What was it?
Imagine.
I mean, I walked around in the days this was, singing it with all my heart, thought it was a great song. Still is a great song by a great artist. But when you look at the words that this individual spoke, it was a communist manifesto. It was more than a communist manifesto. It was a manifesto from hell for the powers and the forces trying to nullify the work that Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. Amen. Imagine there's no heaven. And you probably know this, and I don't want anybody to start singing this either. So contain yourselves. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. This was, since the birth of Jesus, that was the war cry of hell. No heaven, no hell, nothing. You just live, you die, you rot, and that's the end of it. Imagine all the people living for today, and that's what we do, don't we? We live for today. No fear of tomorrow. No worry about it. Well, I'll worry about that when I get there. How do you know when you're going? How do we know what's going to happen? How do we know what might befall us today? Are you going to heaven or not when you die? Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. No, it's not. Because if you watch TV and this is not political, please, Imagine there's no, we are going for global citizenship. We are going for open borders. There's more people from the world coming in than there are that were born here almost. I mean, I don't know what that stat is, but this is what's happening to counteract what God is trying to tell us and show us every day. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Oh, don't leave that out. You're here today. This might be a non-denominational church, which non-denominations are becoming the biggest denomination in the world right now. This isn't religion. That's man's attempt to worship God, is what religion is. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all this is, a relationship with Jesus Christ, that once you receive that offer, that knock on the door, I'm going to come in and I'm going to live with you, he says. It's a relationship that begins and develops and will never end. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Jesus Christ wanted us to be as one. And we fight each other tooth and nail every day of the week. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Do you think that we have? I mean, can you imagine? That might happen in heaven, but what we're singing to try to bring here on this earth, a brotherhood of man? Again, turn the news on, read the paper, just look around. There is, it's me, 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 me. You might say I'm a dreamer, and he does that refrain again. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. My goodness, imagine. I want you to turn, if you have your Bible, to Hebrews 9. And that word imagine is gonna run through the sermon today. I hope it joins together. Hebrews 9. Just two verses. But Christ being come, you know, Christ did come. There is a heaven. So we're imagining again. And we imagine, a lot of us imagine. Pat calls it gooning out. She doesn't ask me, what are you imagining? That sounds so nice, doesn't it? She said, what are you gooning out on? Because I just sit there and look out the window, and you do it. You can see it, the colors that are in it. Sometimes you can almost feel it and smell it, and you get transported. We all imagine. Verse 11 of Hebrews 9, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, everlasting life, resurrection. That's what this day is about. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross because he wanted to make a great statement. He did it to obtain eternal life for me and for you because we couldn't do it on our own. That day of eternal redemption brought to my mind, it's like a day, isn't it? It's an appointment. And that's a word I'd ask us to keep in our heads also. I'm trying to move along, but we have imagine, and we've got appointment, and they're going to be important words, but let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And you know what? I just wanted to look. It was, don't even listen to me right now. How many pastors tell you that? I just got reminded here of something else. We were just in Hebrews 9. And that's where that appointment came from in verse 27. It says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We've all got an appointed day on God's calendar. I don't know what it is. He knows the day that I was going to be born, the day that I'm going to die, and there's an appointment there. So Acts 17, and I better get moving through here, verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art or man's device. This relationship that God is offering each and every one of us today is not like the greatest cathedral you can go to. It's not like a statue that you can buy and put on your shelf. It's not like anything that man has ever designed. It's not like that. People do that still. Then they worship idols. They worship buildings, cathedrals, synagogues. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. He's giving us this. How much time do we have? You know, you might not, you know, I know Jesus. I'm not talking about knowing of him. I'm talking about knowing him, a relationship personally between you and Jesus. And then that comes and it expands because all of a sudden that personal relationship with Jesus, just like a husband and wife have personal relationships, it grows with time if you keep investing in it. And that's what God is asking us because, verse 31, here it comes again, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, that's Jesus Christ, whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. Where do you stand in that today? Simple question. There it is. It's an appointment. We're all going to die. This is a day of great joy, isn't it? Oh, man, God, risen. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with thee. I'm going to be with my brother. I'm going to be with my mother. My dad, I hope and pray, is there. I'm going to be there with some friends that have gone by. I can't wait to go to heaven. But what about that guy who's going to be eternally separated from God? Who was that guy? That was that nefarious. But God puts those nefarious people in our life every single day. We bump into somebody that does not have that joy. And I'm afraid for that right now because it might be someone I love. It might be someone I didn't take my time enough to care for them enough to sit down and logically reason about what God is saying and offering us instead of just being those Christians that, and I've said it, you're a Bible thumper. I wish I could walk around and thump people in the head and just say, oh, you say it, oh, bang, you're going. It doesn't work like that. It's a personal decision between you and the God that created you and God that created me. So we got these appointments coming. Appointments are important, aren't they? Or to some people don't give a rip if they're late, if they miss it. But to most of us, somebody made millions on a thing called a daytimer. A daytimer. So you can write in there all the appointments that you have, what you need to do at such and such an hour. I was at Kaiser, and an old boy next to me was probably in his very late 90s, and he got up, and there was his daytimer sitting right there. Nice leather one wrapped, and I grabbed it and went after him. I said, hey, you forgot your daytimer. And he goes, oh, thank you there, young fella. And I said, you wouldn't know where you're supposed to be without this. And he goes, oh, no, I use that to tell me where I've been all day. Appointments. They're so important. We got doctor's appointments. You write it down. We got dentist appointments. And those we miss, right? We got car appointments. We get your car fixed. We got appointments every single day that we move our schedules in order to make those appointments happen. And I really felt God was asking me, what are you and what will you do to make that appointed day happen? It's happened for me already. I received Christ. Does that mean I'm perfect and everything else is going great in my life? No. But I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven. Why? Because he told me I am. And I'm going to take that to the bank because without it, there's nothing. There's nothing. John 5. The resurrection is going to happen. Doesn't matter how much cancel culture tries anything. This morning is the egg roll on the White House lawn. That's an event that's been going on for ages. But at this morning's there was no crosses allowed on any of the eggs, or the word resurrection was not to be written on anything, and no religious symbols on any of the eggs that were being rolled on the White House lawn this morning. Satan is still trying to cancel the resurrection. Amen. He couldn't give a rip less about Easter or any of the other ones. He wants to cancel the only living hope that you and I have. Try to do away with Jesus Christ. And that spirit is raising up again today. And I feel it's getting more powerful. It's getting more dangerous. It's not even being concealed anymore. And the hope of the resurrection, your belief and my belief, if you're here today in Jesus Christ, is trying to be destroyed, period. It happened then. It's happening now. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. What happened?
John.
Oh, I guess I did. I said I was going to be a little sketchy today. Thank you. It's good to be loved. Marvel not at this in verse 28. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Father God, you know, here I am trying to show that Satan is still trying to cancel your perfect plan out, Lord. And I'd ask you to just give my mind peace right now, that I wouldn't try to hurry this. In Jesus' name. Hello. Why is that going on, some might say. This girl grew up with our daughter. They were best friends for all their life until her life had to go for another purpose. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in their grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. This is resurrection. This is God is telling us this. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Oh, boy, there's the great joy, isn't it? I'm going to heaven. But also on that day of judgment, that appointed day that God's going to give to every one of us. And some people still today say, I don't care about that. I don't believe in that. That's not what my religion shows me. God is saying through his Holy Spirit, all that have done good unto, and the good, you know, it's not like just going out and doing good works, doing good. The good thing is just to not let that be in vain. Accept that for you. God loves you. He wants to spend eternity in heaven with each and every one of us. That's the first good work we can ever do. And then after that, we learn how to do things. We hear, I should reach out. I should do this. I should go on a mission field. I should become a youth pastor. I mean, there's all these other things, but those who have done good, everlasting resurrected life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, eternal separation from God. Where do you stand in this? What's your thought? What's your opinion today? Don't let somebody else make your belief or faith up. Some of us have heard things all of our life growing up about faith and religion and God. And please, this is personal. Like I said, this is a religion. You make that decision. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you believe that God raised him from the dead, isn't it funny that those are the two things that he put in there for salvation and resurrection? He didn't say if you were just a great guy, you never made a mistake, oh, you were the best wife, best husband, best kid. He didn't say any of that. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved now as we walk around, and saved eternally from what's coming, that hour, that appointment that's coming on this world. Now I got to really move. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Like I said, before, this is nothing new. This was going on since the days of Jesus. And it's going on today where they're trying to cancel everything. 1 Corinthians 15. So let's just look at I'd ask you, read the whole of the Bible, but definitely in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll take a moment more on verse 1. Moreover, brethren, and I hope and pray that all of us are in here because of our hope and our belief in Jesus Christ, because this is real. Here Paul is saying, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein you stand, by which you are also saved. So you were saved by this gospel, by Jesus Christ. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, no value to it. For I delivered, verse 3, unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Read them, go look them up. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. There's proof positives in here. And then he was seen of, you know, and then a whole list of all these people. So you read those, but in a rush, like I said, we're trying to have a cancel culture going on in this world. If they don't like it, cancel it. And they do not like your faith or my faith. They do. It's not you. Like Jesus told us in John, he also told us in there. He said, you know, if they don't like you, if they hate you, they hated me first. It's Christ. It's not you. It's the hope of glory. It's the hope of resurrection. But they were trying to cancel it clear back here. And Paul makes the statement in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if Christ be preached, and listen to the two diametrics in here, and there's logic in it, why are we here today then if there is no resurrection? Why are we here if there is no Jesus Christ? Why are we here if it's a figment of Christians' imaginations? So Paul is arguing with them about this, and he says, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Those people are out there today still. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Okay, so there isn't Christ. Who are we following here today then? This should be a part of our daily understanding. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Everything that I've stood up here for, everything that Seth's stood here for, Ted, Craig, that has preached over 40 years, it's valueless if it wasn't for the one who hung on that cross and died for us. It would just be our opinions. It would just be my imagination of this is the world that I can create. Yea, and we are found false witnesses, 15, of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. That's the only, it's not how, it's our sin, that's all. Where is the sin question in your life? Who's it on? It was on Jesus Christ who took it to the cross, or it's on you and I. And then I carry that to the throne that day, and my ultimate is eternal separation. Then they, verse 18, which are fallen asleep, the ones who have died in Christ, are perished. All those who went before us. That's my only hope, to see my daughter again. It's heaven. How am I going to see her again? You've lost loved ones. How are you going to see? Tell me, what's the logic? How am I going to see them again? There isn't any. My only hope right now, and if it's false, which please, that's a phony statement, it's still a better life, and it's a hope every single day that maybe if God lets me live for, I got a feeling he's going to get a little bit of laughter out of me, let me live to 100 maybe, you know. Just take me now, please. But if Christ isn't risen, if there's no resurrection, if this isn't true, because somebody convinced you differently instead of you reading this and taking it into your being, then you got no hope to see anybody you love or ever loved before, and they're not coming back. It's that simple. If in this life only We have hope in Christ right now. You know, he'll get me through. He'll get me out of this lie. He'll get me this new job. He'll get me this guy or this girl or this car. Or when my car breaks down because I haven't put any money into it for 7 years or an oil change, he's going to miraculously make it run. See, that's what we've turned Christ into, this bellhop, this genie. We just rub a lamp and poof, on he comes, and then we forget about him. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, and I love those buts in the Bible, but now is Christ risen from the dead, Christos Anaste. He is risen indeed, just like he said he was going to do. And he's become the first fruits of them that slept. We're next. We're the next ones. So today, how do I bring it to an end? And I better. For those of us who are in Christ, it's a joyful day, isn't it? This should be the best day of our lives besides Christmas when you get presents. I'm not real big on chocolate, so bunny chocolate eggs don't do much for me. I did like the marshmallow-smelling grass that Pat bought for the kids, though. She opened this, I'm walking around thinking, where are these marshmallows? They smell like the bag is open, and she's like, I said, what are you looking for? I said, the marshmallows. She takes a bag of the Easter grass, and they put some kind of marshmallow scent on them. Should be an unspeakable day of hope and joy, but also of fear for somebody you love. This isn't church. You're the church. This isn't going to a religious service and hopefully I hear something that I like. So maybe I can put this in my back pocket and walk with it. This is life and death today, not because I'm preaching it, but because we don't know how much time we have. And Christ is offering. He was on that cross. I mean, what kind of love was that? What held him to the cross? Nails, you'll say. No, love. Because he's saying, please, I love you. Please. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. R&R. That's it. But we want rest and relaxation. We want to go to the beach. We want to, I don't know. I better stop there. I'll get myself in trouble. For us, it's a day of joy, but please don't let it just stay there. There are people all around us. And for the uncommitted, and you might be in here today. For the uncommitted, meaning, you know, I have no problem with God. I have no problem with Jesus. Are you saved? Well, no. Only God knows a heart. Don't ever in anybody's mind think that because of the behavior of someone or the way that they look to us that they are not saved. Please don't do a disservice to God. Only God knows a heart. For the uncommitted today, this is a day of decision. That's all it is. One more day that God has given us to breathe and, you know, do our business and go have a nice lunch and candy. It's a day of decision. I'd beg you, as Paul did, receive Christ. Amen. All by yourself. I'm not going to ask you to pour up here and say the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer is, save me, Father God, comes from here. I hear these sinner's prayers that go on for like 5 minutes, and the guy's asking me to repeat it. I said, God, save me, with a shotgun in my mouth. Well, so you save me. A sinner's prayer is always asking, and today for the uncommitted, that's all he wants. He knows your heart already. But for the God haters, oh, that's a strong word, Pastor. Yes, there are God haters out there, literally. The enemy hates them. Some during this time that we just read in Corinthians, they hated him. They wanted to do away with him. For the God hater, which I heard a terrible statistic that only 3 in 10 people will call themselves a Christian. A Christian, doesn't say what kind. 3 out of 10. Used to be something like 48% of people went to church every Sunday, considered themselves Christians. 3 out of 10. That same chart, and I don't like stats because they can be played with like anything you want to do, but we saw this chart where here in the late 50s, and it went through the 60s, 70s, 80s, the chart went from way up here in faith, religion, family, all this stuff. It all of a sudden started dropping every year. Every year. And the one right here that took a steady incline, you know what people were concerned about instead of eternal existence and family and faith in God? Money. Money. was up at a 42% rise from where it was. For the non-believer, only God knows the day of your appointment. So a lot of imagine. If you bear with me, I'm sorry that it might be going long for some. My phone was ringing. I usually don't, but I needed it for the words. Talking about D. You all know Peter Long was D's husband. He called me twice and said, he is risen. Amen. One more. And those of you who know me and computers, you know what's going on right now.
It is not risen.
Okay, please. You can have an extra cookie when we go to the back.
High tech.
This is voodoo. This isn't high tech. Look, this is voodoo. I keep putting into, there's another song with Imagine. So we had John Lennon's Imagine. Well, there's another song by Mercy Me. And it's I Can Only Imagine. So when we sit around and we, how can I do this and talk? I can't walk and chew gum. That's obvious to all of you right now. This is good though. It is hot up here.
He's trying to find a song.
Would you like us to? I'm trying to get this.
Do you want Heather to do it for you?
How embarrassing. What do you mean? You're a pastor and you don't know how to work a computer? No. Here's my computer. I can download onto this. I can trash this stuff. Do everything this does, and it cost me like $1.29. I can only look. Somebody they're sending it to now. I don't know. Here. Okay. Listen to this. Listen to this. So instead of Imagine, and what? So what I want us to do? I put the. You know, we have. The resurrection day causing us such joy, but fear for our loved ones and everything, maybe to make it more real in our hearts instead of having John Lennon's song stuck in our head for the rest of this day, which happens when you hear a song, don't you? I mean, I sang the other day, I sang Purple Rain for like hours. Why? Because I heard it in the restaurant was playing. Here's, listen to this, and we will end with this. I can only imagine, and you all and I, we imagine great things. We imagine a new house, a new car, somebody else to live with maybe. We imagine what it would be like if. I want to imagine this. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes would see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever and forever worship you. I can only imagine. And he just goes on to sing, I can only imagine. So away with.
Katie's waiting for her phone.
No, it's not
this one's
mine.
Nice in the mind.
It's not mine.
I can only imagine. So I hope you can go out of here one day. I know that was probably hard in a couple areas here, and I hope it wasn't anything that made anybody feel accused. I hope it is an encouragement. Tommy's always called me the coach for the last 40 years, and a good coach will encourage you, but a good coach will also put it out there what needs to be done, and I hope that you're encouraged today, that Jesus Christ loves you beyond anything you can ever imagine. That Jesus Christ, I mean, how can somebody die for me? How can somebody die for you? I mean, I can look around at everybody. I can pick a bad one. But How could Christ die for me? I could only imagine until the day we stand there. Please be sure you're going to be standing there. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have. I'm okay.